On this week's The Reflex Blue Show, Ben Luders returns from design camp with yet another interview. This one from Studio on Fire's very own Benjamin Levitz and Selena Larson.
Welcome back to The Reflex Blue Show. I am usually your co-host, Ben Luders. Today I'm hosting in Donovan's absence. Today I have Benjamin Levitz with me. Benjamin is from Studio on Fire in Northeast Minneapolis. Is that right, Benjamin?
That is correct.
And Studio on Fire is a letterpress and design shop. Can you tell us a little bit about Studio on Fire?
Absolutely. We are a shop that really specializes in letterpress printing for the design community. Our primary clients are other designers like ourselves, agencies, firms that are really producing a premium print product. And that's where we get trusted to go to press on highly vintage machines. We're using primarily 1950s, 1960s Heidelberg equipment. So we have 10 vintage Heidelberg presses that we run all manner of paper through those things, from text weight stuff to really, really heavy 60, 70, 80 point board that we produce things like business cards, invites, and it's primarily clients that have either a premium product or a premium business that are coming to us with their print jobs.
Absolutely. I was checking out your guys' booth last night at the expo hall or exhibit hall or whatever, and you guys had all these samples of business cards to just take and feel, and I will admit that I took like every single one of them, and I was wearing my Nina paper apron at the time and just stuffed it full, like the pockets full of these cards, and they're just beautiful. They're so thick and just like so weighty, and what was the word you used to describe them a minute ago?
Succulent.
Succulent. That's,
succulent,
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard that in,
Some people describe design as juicy, but I think succulent is even better.
That's a wonderful word to describe it. Yeah. So, Benjamin, I'm really curious, how did you get into this profession? You know, I meet a lot of people that, you know, they have an idea of what they want to do or what their dream job would be, but, like, getting there is always a kind of a crazy, you know, path. And so I'm just curious, how did you get into this?
Getting there is hard, and I think, you know, doing something that you love is not necessarily always the easy path, and I came to it very much by a hobby that just sort of developed into the business. I was graduated as a communication design major from College of Visual Arts in St. Paul, and working my first design job back in 1998, 1999, and 40 plus hours a week in front of a computer was sucking my will to live. You know, it's kind of
well
like,
said.
It's kind of like you get a the glowing screen in front of you, and everything that you've done previously in art school is, you know, the painting, the drawing, the sculpture, the photography, all of that sort of can easily fall away in modern design. And I wanted to get back to doing something with my hands. So
it's,
I got
tactile.
Yeah, and not just the tactility of what we do as a design, you know, process, but ultimately the final product that we produce as well. So it was a real experimental outlet when I first got into it. And from there, you know, I had other designer friends say, hey, you want to print this for me? And so it began, you know, in a very hobby incubation stage. From there, it was, set up from my basement to then my garage in California for a while. I moved back to the Twin Cities and still kept it as a hobby, but I got an official art studio, had some studio mates, and bigger presses and more capability, and pretty soon I was continued to work my design job 40 hours a week plus up until 2006.
Unbelievable.
Where I was at a point where I was easily working both my full-time job and the letterpress job 40 hours a week.
At that point, were you still the only one doing the letterpress, or did you have other friends or employees helping you out?
At that point, I had one full-time employee, and then myself, and I was just floundering. I was, like, at the end of my rope, and that is when Selena entered.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Selena. And what's Selena's role with you guys?
Selena is our studio director at Studio on Fire.
All right, stay tuned. And we are back, and we're joined, Benjamin is here, and we're joined by Selena. She is the studio director at Studio on Fire. And Selena, how did you get into this?
It's actually kind of funny because I just came from a lecture or a workshop with Jeff Johnson, and I think that was how Ben and I were really brought together because it was a poster offensive show I was attending. And I'd worked with Ben previously on just a estimate for a project at a studio that I was working at, but he approached me at that poster show and said, "Hey, have you ever considered managing a letterpress shop?" And I said, "No, but tell me more."
What were you doing at that time?
I was freelancing, and I was about ready to go on a 9-week vacation to New Zealand. Again, it was a Jeff Johnson. I had been thinking about going there, and he spent a year in New Zealand, and so he said, "Oh, you can't just go for a week or so. You got to go for as long as you can." And so, I had already purchased my ticket. I was just finishing up I think I had a full-time job at that point, but so I was in this interim thing, and
I had to wait for you. Ultimately get done.
He was like, "What? Are you almost
vacation.
Done?" I think we were emailing. He's like, "When are you coming back?"
I want to do like a whole nother podcast just about the New Zealand experience. How was it?
Oh, it was pretty awesome.
Was it?
Yep.
So wait, when was that? How long ago?
Well, it had been 2006, I guess.
Okay, so Lord of the Rings has already been out and everything.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is already out.
Is there like a big Lord of the Rings tourist like industry there? Like show you all the sites?
There
like,
is, actually. They have organized tours here. Centered around it. And you would run across them just in ramblings around. But it is kind of funny. You would be driving, or I would be driving on the North Island. It's actually two islands in New Zealand. They're very distinct personalities. But driving along the North Island, you look off to your left into this valley, and you're like, "Ah, the Shire folk." And it's really,
really,
you really have this sense of place from watching The Lord of the Rings.
Right.
So then you feel like you've been there before, kind of in this mystical land with mist and little dots of sheep on the hills. And
wow, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
basically exactly like Minnesota. So, are you from here, Selena?
I am. I was born in Minneapolis, grew up in about an hour and a half, not even an hour and a half, about an hour north of where we are right now in Akeley, Minnesota. And went to college at Hamline University in St. Paul, moved out to Colorado for a few years, and then moved back to Minneapolis.
Awesome. So one of the things I'm doing at Design Camp as I'm interviewing people is I'm trying to like tap into where they came from. And so one of the questions I've been asking people is, do you have any like big design influences from your childhood? Like anything that you look back on and it's like, "Oh, that would kind of like, you know, influence me or push me in the direction of getting into design."
Well, I actually come from a fine art background.
That works too.
And came to design, when I moved back from Colorado, I worked at the Minneapolis College of Art and Design for 4 years as the program coordinator for Design Works. So that was when I really got introduced to graphic design, and I feel like I had an education, and you know, because of that experience, because I was working with young designers every day. I mean, I guess I can't really pinpoint a designer, because my interest in design is not just limited to paper. I'm also interested in architecture and modern architectural design, lead design, sustainable design, fine art, music, you know.
Sure.
Broad background informing my design sensibility.
I see.
For me, I would say it was, I grew up building go-karts and, you know, on a on a small farm about an hour north of the Twin Cities. And, you know, it was always making crazy tree forts and just generally building things and working with tools, doing things by hand that resulted in something that I could enjoy. And I very much, was the school artist, from designing homecoming buttons and very poorly, I might add, but
you're in Paula Scher, huh?
Yeah. And that kind of encouragement that I received, though, in doing that kind of stuff, ultimately prompted me in to go to an art college. But I didn't go to art college with the intent of doing a design major. In fact, I would say at the end of my sophomore year, you go through, in a 4-year program, you typically go through 2 foundation years, and then you declare your major, and then take the second 2 years of more specialized courses towards your major. But the foundation program that I went through, was that exposure to drawing and sculpture, and I absolutely loved sculpture because I was in a shop with a welder. And
what kind of sculpture are you doing?
Oh, at that point, we got a really broad exposure to both cast iron, cast aluminum, welded structures, some pottery worked into it. So it was very much, this experimental sandbox of materials, and that was really attractive to me as an artist at that point. And what I discovered is that the job prospects were not very good to graduate from school and be a well-paid sculptor. So,
right.
I very distinctly remember sitting down with John Dufresne, the design chair at the college, and Karen Wirth, the fine arts chair, who is now at MCAD. Sat down with both of them and kind of the pros and cons, and ultimately John won, I think, that conversation, and I did proceed and did the communication design major because I felt like I would be able to earn a paycheck doing that. And I figured, well, I'll just get my welder and move that into my basement. And
it's amazing what kind of an influence a paycheck can have on, career decisions. Yeah. The similar thing to me, I didn't realize, I wasn't even aware of the field of graphic design when I was a kid. I like to draw pictures, though, and I just kind of fell into this design job and then realized, oh, crap, there's Photoshop and Illustrator and all these things, and people would hire me. And but it really still is an art form. And so on that, on this idea of, art forms and doing these things that you love, do you guys now find time to just sketch or to paint or to sculpture or to just let yourselves loose outside of your quote-unquote work? Were you guys at the Eric Madsen talk yesterday? Eric Madsen was showing off these sketchbooks, his hand lettering and little doodles while he's sitting in the airport. And these are things that he doesn't even really show people, until now. He's been doing these for years, just kind of for his own personal creativity, pushing himself to, get back to that. So I'm just wondering, do you guys find time for that, or is that something you wish that you did?
Yes, wish.
Yeah. I think, our outlets, both as a studio and I think on a personal level, are through the poster show collaborations that we contribute to on a fairly regular basis. Mm-hmm. And those are great because they're invitations to and the Twin Cities is a great community for this too, where there'll be a themed poster show. And one of the things Selena mentioned earlier was the poster offensive, which is this thing that happens around election time where it's basically a politically based poster show. You choose what the content of what issue you want to talk about is and make a statement with it. And yeah, I've been involved with that for several times now. And those kind of poster opportunities are, you know, the outlet that I've found at this point. You know, being a father with three kids plus a business to run.
Congratulations.
Leaves very little time to find those outlets. But.
And I also contribute to the poster shows, even though I don't have any formal graphic design training, but I approach them, I think they're very graphic, but it's more of a fine arts. Mm. And it's a, you know, I get to exhibit. I get to exhibit every couple of years.
Sweet.
One piece. And it gives me a nice goal to work towards, and you know, because it is difficult to find the time. When we do a lot of working.
Well, we do a lot of working, and lately...
Well, you guys do have fun work, though. You know, you have creative work, but I understand there's still a point where, you know, it is still work to some degree.
Yeah, we call it work. It's not play. We don't go to play. We go to work.
Yeah, but no, it's good to get in that mindset.
We try to have fun when we're there, though.
Yeah, and it's an interesting place to work, because, like Selena, most of the folks in the studio have... fine arts backgrounds
right,
as well,
right.
And my
or design,
yeah. And one of my first hire actually was another fine arts guy that graduated right along with me from College of Visual Arts, and he was a painting major, and he's been you know since 2006 he's been basically doing his studio on the side and being a fine artist in his own right. He left for a little while and went to Pratt and got his master's, and he's back. He's, you know, what he brings to the table, though, is, you know, the meticulous attention to detail that, you know, so many fine artists have. And I think that's, you know, that's so critical to have that coming to what we do as a letterpress shop. It's not about just technical knowledge. It really is an art, and it requires that sort of meticulous drive to get every last detail just right.
And your work shows it. Golly, that's so much fun. A moment ago, Benjamin, you were... you mentioned your three kids, and, you know, admitting that it's hard to sometimes find time to balance things, which leads right into kind of my last question, which has to do with balance and how do you guys find balance between work, home life, family, friends, you know, your own art? I'm just curious to whether you feel like you do balance things well or you don't, or...
I think we just have to leave. You know, I say that all the time. On the way up to design camp, it's like, we could be here all night. I mean, you can stay and work all night and then into the next day if you want, but you have to stop. Mm. You have to say, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Pretty good at closing time.
That's largely been the attitude I've had to adopt, too, is like, you know what? The work is going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not like...
There's no life or death print situations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're affecting lives. We're not saving them or anything like that.
Congratulations for that, because I think that's hard, especially among like freelance designers you run into, where like ones that work from home or a small office, and they just feel like their work's all around them. I know I experienced that. I worked from home for many years exclusively, and it's just like it was hard to just get away from your work. And so now I work at a small firm and work basically 8 to 5. And it's just nice to, like, closing time. It's like you go home and you spend time with your family and, you know, try to make time for it. But
and you have to schedule those things.
You do.
You really do, because you could stay there. You know, I go to a lot of music festivals, and I schedule those months in advance. And as the time grows closer, it gets more and more urgent.
More and more frantic. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it scheduled, you just keep working, and you won't do anything. And then, you know, it fuels, those breaks fuel the... getting back into work. You need to have a break, you need to have a rest, so you can come back and start over and be refreshed.
For all you students out there, listen to this. Rest is important,
and
it's good to see some of you guys seasoned designers that you know, seem to be doing that right. And your work's great, so you don't have to work all night long or whatever. Sometimes that rest is what you need to rejuvenate that creativity, you know. So, anyways, I appreciate you guys being on the podcast for sharing especially that. And before you go, Benjamin, how long have you been growing that beard?
I've had a beard for about 5-6 years, but at this length, down below collar level now is,
below collar level beard.
It is, probably about a year.
Probably about a year. Well, it's fantastic. I'm going to take a picture of you guys before you head out, but thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for being on the podcast. You're Benjamin, welcome. Selena, you guys are awesome. Keep up the amazing work in Minneapolis.
You will.
All right.
Thank you for listening to The Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luders.